I see it clearly. I jump up, I jump high, protect myself, same time I go for the ball, and he jumps into my elbow.
Welcome to the Sound of Football podcast. I'm Graham Sibley, and as usual, I'm joined by Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
Well, what an exciting week of football it's been.
It's always been an exciting week.
I know,
football,
I always say
it?
That, really.
That's because it's true.
Yes.
Damn it.
Well, it is true.
Yeah.
However, this weekend, I think a lot of people's enjoyment of football was spoiled by a premeditated act. And something that really doesn't sit very well with many of us. We're all watching a great game, and then all of a sudden, one act is perpetrated, and it just ruins the whole weekend for you, doesn't it? I am talking, of course, about Dele Alli and Harry Kane's handshake after the first goal against Everton.
That was horrible.
Of course you
that
are.
That was horrible.
That was most distasteful.
It was most distasteful, and I think we'd all like to put it all behind us, wouldn't we?
We were children watching. I had to shield my son's eyes.
Yeah, I'm sure you did. I'm sure you did.
Mm. I didn't watch it personally, but that's how appalled I was. I was watching another channel.
I was watching a whole other channel, just in case they shake hands.
Right, that's because I didn't put it in the box set.
You didn't, and I was watching the Sparta Feyenoord match on the other side, which is good.
Yeah, it was a great game, that was.
Yeah, in fairness, I only watched the second half. But,
yeah.
But it was, a good rearguard battle against the league leaders.
Ah.
It's fantastic, fantastic to see. And you suggested that there might be an upset because you pointed out that Feyenoord had lost the last four matches at Sparta's ground.
Yes.
So this is a derby game.
Yeah.
And although Sparta are a lowly club, they do seem to be able to find a way of getting under the skin over their more illustrious local rivals.
Yeah.
So, and of course, listeners would have been across that as well had they subscribed to our weekend box.
Of course, and the easiest way to do that is to go to tinyletter.com/soundoffootball and then you can sign up and then you can get, well, this weekend it'll be Jan's choices of seven games
indeed,
to watch over the
because
weekend.
Because it's the FA Cup.
Yeah.
I only do FA Cup.
You do, don't you? This is what happens when you have a 3-week cycle, isn't it, really?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yes, that'll be great. We'll get some of Jan's insight. We'll get some Jan's sight.
Anything else for this week? Because there's only three FA Cup games, isn't there? Because the Chelsea-Man United game's on Monday, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a Borough City. Arsenal playing Lincoln.
Yeah.
And Spurs-Millwall. So they're all really interesting.
Yeah.
Friday night, Juventus, AC Milan.
Oh, that's not too bad, is
not
it?
Not bad for Friday night,
Not too shabby,
that'll
is
That'll
it?
Do, that'll do, yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yeah.
But there's others going on.
But hey, we've got a podcast to get out first.
Yeah.
We can't go thinking and wishing our life away and wishing it was the weekend already, because this week we're going to be talking about intent, going on the theme of premeditated action here. When is a foul really an intended foul? Is that right? Is that what we're talking about? Because I mean, we had a conversation, didn't we, about a month ago about aggression in football, didn't we?
We did.
When is a robust challenge? When does it go over the edge and become a dangerous challenge?
Mm.
But this is more about two incidents in one game. We're talking about Man United Bournemouth, and, well, of course, it's been filling up all the papers today. Well, it would have done if attention hadn't been drawn away by Alexis Sanchez. So, a good day to bury your elbows, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. They certainly stamped that particular story out.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to go around the group. We haven't discussed this yet, so this will be interesting to see how this pans out. But we're going to discuss between the three of us what we think of both incidents, and then we'll have a talk about what the media said and about how they reacted to it. And then we'll see if we can draw any conclusions. We'll also talk about some other incidents as well and see what else we can come up with. Yeah, and I'm going to start with you.
Okay.
First, we're going to talk about the stamp.
So Zlatan received the ball and played it nicely and quickly through to Rooney, who was then absolutely wiped out by Mings. So that in itself was a terrible challenge. Maybe there's another micro incident to talk about here.
Yep.
Zlatan then clumsily fell over him, which was a little bit of a comedy fall almost. Mings also went down, obviously, because he went through Rooney.
Yeah.
He got up, and as he was leaping like a gazelle over both of them, he landed with his forefoot on the back of Zlatan's head.
Right.
As he made off. the first thing I thought, wow, Zlatan's got a really strong neck, because it just, he stood on him. He did obviously go with the weight a little bit, but then he kind of looked up straight away. If that was me, I think I'd be dead, I think. Mm. He's quite a strong guy, isn't he?
Yeah.
But,
Or either that, or he wasn't hit that hard.
Mm. Well, I think he was hit very hard. Mm. Whether it was intended or not.
We're just going on what you think now. What did you think of the challenge? Did you think it was a stamp? Just gut reaction. We're not looking for definitive answers here.
It didn't look like a stamp, because to me a stamp is where the leg is being extended away from the body towards, in this case, a head. And it looked more like Mings was jumping. He was in a leap.
It was off the ground, isn't he, at the time?
Yeah, it was. I didn't, and I may have this wrong, but I didn't see him looking down to where he was putting his foot. I think, unless I've missed something, it didn't really look like it was, 100% I'm going to stamp on his head here.
Okay. Terry, how did you see the incident?
I saw it exactly as Jan has described it, so I'm not going to go through it again. But I think it was a stamp.
Yeah.
But I'm less concerned about whether or not it was a deliberate stamp. I'm more concerned with what the outcome was. And the outcome was that Tyrone Mings' foot was planted quite squarely on Zlatan's head. Mm. And so for me, that is a stamp. Tyrone Mings may not be that sort of player.
Well, this is it. That might be a phrase that we return to in this podcast.
It was Chris Lyons on Twitter who said that Mings' record in the past, he doesn't have a record of this sort of disciplinary.
He's not been
booked
since April 2015.
Right. So to say that it was necessarily malicious, I think, would be strong. It's worth perhaps also bearing in mind that there was some tastiness between Zlatan and Mings earlier in the match, wasn't there? I think they were both shouldering up to each other, marking out their territory, and there was some pushing ago. I think Zlatan could conceivably have been booked or even red carded for that, but the referee, I think, wisely chose to just tell them both to simmer down. Mm. Clearly there was some unpleasantness between them,
sure.
So it's possible that Mings had a rush of blood to the head and thought, I mean, all these things happen in such a split second.
Yep. Mm.
But I think that the thing is, it's dangerous, I think, to try and look into the hearts and minds of these people and determine motive.
I think it's
better to just simply look at what happened and call it as you see it.
Mm.
And I think that I see that as a stamp. Mm. And so, therefore, I would have thought that the appropriate response was to send the guy off.
So, unintentional stamp, as it may have been, you would have still sent him off.
You might be able to get away with the fact that it could be a yellow card and the part that it was reckless, but I would suggest to you that that is serious foul play.
Mm. Because he's not in control of what he was doing.
He certainly isn't in control of what he's doing.
I saw it perhaps slightly different to that. I mean, I don't think he made full connection with Zlatan. I think he made a sliding connection down, probably raked down the back of his head.
Right.
So rather than the stamping flat on his head, because his neck would not have remained, no matter how much yoga you do.
Mm.
Tyrone Mings is a heavy boy.
Mm.
And it would have had a rather nasty crunch to it.
Mm.
And he would not have been getting up from that anytime soon. I don't think it was an intentional stamp. I don't think it was a stamp anyway. I think there is a problem here where, yes, he leaps over the players, and that's probably not a wise thing to do.
Mm.
Play was continuing. It was going ahead, and he goes into automatic. He's pushing forward. He leaps over Rooney, and Rooney's getting up at the same time.
Mm.
Now, but the thing is, he leaps in this very odd way, because the foot that he's going on off is his right foot.
It is.
And he's almost having to cross his legs to avoid, or if he wants to stamp on Zlatan, then all he needs to do is go in a straight line.
Mm.
But he does actually get his left leg to the right of Zlatan.
Mm.
So he's actually sort of scissoring.
Crossing over himself.
Yeah, crossing over himself in a way. And you've got Rooney has got his back to him, and he's pushing against his standing foot or the foot that he takes off of. I've watched that loads of times today, and there are things in it that I think, oh, God, no, you could have done that differently. But then when I looked at it, I thought, this is half a second.
Exactly. Yeah.
No one is making that decision there. No one is saying that. I mean, I've seen players getting stamped before, and that what you usually see is you see that the player who's doing it is watching them all the time. They do not take the eyes off.
Yeah. Mm.
I think you're right, Terry. I think he wasn't in control of what he was doing. And so you could say, yeah, that was reckless. But is he challenging for the ball? Or is he colliding with someone? Is it, does this come in the collision rules? Or is this, as we said the other week, a racing incident?
Yeah, and I wouldn't class it as a racing incident. I would certainly, for me, it would be, it's reckless, and I think it probably constitutes serious foul play. But again, I mean, it's difficult to justify that because it's difficult to know whether or not there's any intention. But I mean, I would argue that you should ignore the intention element to it and just see what happened. And well, I think that warrants certainly some kind of disciplinary. I might rein back slightly on a red card, but I think that, I mean, I've never refereed a game in my life.
Yeah.
I'm familiar with the laws of the game, but I've never used them in a live situation. So I don't know what I would have done if I was a referee.
Yeah.
But I was surprised when if the referee had seen that taking zero action was the outcome.
Mm.
I mean, I can only surmise that the referee didn't see it.
Yeah.
I think the referee had been looking at it.
Mm.
I think that he would have definitely have taken action, a foul, at least a yellow card. I mean, I don't think anybody would have complained excessively if it had been a red card.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, agreed.
I wonder if it would have been more if there had been actually physical signs of damage to Zlatan, if he hadn't got up and if there'd been blood gushing out the back of his head, whether or not that he would have done things differently.
It was
a confusing situation, wasn't it?
It was an incredibly intense game.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a well-fought game between two teams, actually quite well matched. It was a tasty game.
Yeah.
I mean, Bournemouth came to play and they were up front. I mean, they played 4-4-2 and that's brave, and went for them. And they're not shrinking violets. And it was a very physical, a very, very interesting encounter.
Well, no, considering what the form that Bournemouth had been in, it was actually a real turnaround, really, wasn't it?
And they're fiercely competitive professionals, and yeah, I mean, it spilt over somewhat in that instance.
Mm.
And if Tyrone Mings was to look me in the eye and say I had no intention whatsoever of stamping on that guy's head, I'd believe him.
Mm.
I completely believe him.
Yeah.
But I would suggest that isn't the point.
Mm. Yeah, and do you remember the name Dan Smith?
I've probably known a few people called Dan Smith.
Do you know of a Sunderland fullback called Dan Smith?
Dan Smith.
He made 3 Premier League appearances, start of his career. 19, local lad. He got into the side. It was one of your caretaker managers brought him on.
Buxton?
No.
Before that? After
Crosby?
No.
Stills?
Ball?
Kevin Ball. Kevin Ball's been our caretaker manager several times.
It was Kevin Ball. Kevin Ball brought him on. And in his last game he played for Sunderland, he tackled Abu Diaby and shattered his ankle. Wow. And Abu Diaby never recovered from it, really. And he came back and was injured. And that was the rest of his career, basically. It was little tiny periods of play interspersed by lengthy periods on the treatment table.
Mm.
But all the focus of Arsenal's anger was against Dan Smith, this 19-year-old player.
Mm.
Who, whether or not he actually intended to do it or not, he's since come out repeatedly in interviews and has said, look, I didn't mean it, I wouldn't do that sort of thing. And his career has gone nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
He's now playing non-league in Australia now. Having gone to Scotland and got rid of there and done the rounds, did non-league, went down to step 5 of non-league, couldn't even make it into the teams there. So the fact that a player has said that I didn't mean to do anything, the pressure of someone pointing the finger at them and saying, look, you did this, you caused the end of someone's career, has put his career curve, into a nosedive.
Doesn't help anyone, I suppose. When you throw mud, it sticks.
Yeah.
And so it clearly did in that lad's case.
Yeah.
But in other people's cases, I mean, I forget the name of the player that Roy Keane destroyed his leg.
Alfinger Haaland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It certainly didn't do Roy any harm. In fact, it probably bolstered his reputation.
Yeah, sold a few books, didn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a case where intent was all about it. Everyone could see that was full of intent, that challenge on Inge Haaland, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, back in the 90s, John Fashanu on Gary Mabbott.
Yeah.
Gary Mabbott had to have a plate installed in his face to put it back together again after what had happened.
Yeah, that was and that was of course an elbow, wasn't it?
That was an elbow.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
and it was deliberate and it was calculated and unpunished.
Should we talk about the elbow now then?
Hmm.
Well, I went first with Jan for the stamp. How about if I go first with
you? Oh, this is an easy one. Zlatan and Mings are going up. The ball's coming over from a cross. I forget who the cross is from. I think it might be a set piece, mightn't it?
Yeah.
And the two are marking it. Well, Mings is marking Zlatan. And Zlatan has, obviously, he's probably, perhaps his ears still ringing from the clomp to the head that he got from Mings. Clocks Mings and rises for the ball. The ball sort of comes somewhere over their head. No chance of either of them getting to it. And Zlatan just completely clocks him with the elbow, knocks him down, and he's down on the floor for a considerable period of time.
Mm.
And there's an awful lot of hooing and haring. And it's... who ends up being the guy who gets sent off because he reacts to Zlatan. He pushes Zlatan. Zlatan falls over and you know, hijinks ensue. Zlatan does get away with elbowing and a clear, nasty, pretty nasty elbow.
Because he's already got a yellow card at this stage.
Yeah,
as well,
I mean, yellow card or no, I mean, for that, it's a straight red, isn't it? And you're off. Mm. And the referee didn't send him off. Again, I'm wondering why that didn't happen. Is it because nobody saw it, or is it because the referee just felt that this was a difficult situation and didn't think it would be helpful to send Zlatan off? But I mean, I think Zlatan could have been off the pitch before either of those two incidents happened. Again, with that initial confrontation with Mings under a different time, and dare I say, perhaps a different player.
Mm.
I think there's an aura about Zlatan.
Mm.
I mean, for me, that's a clear cut, far more so than the Mings one. Although for me, that was quite clear cut too.
But, but for that, you see intent there as well, do you, or not?
Yeah, I mean, I don't believe that it is possible to position your elbow in such a way without by accident. I have a degree of sympathy for players who leap up and use their arm for elbow. But as I said only a few weeks ago, I don't have very much sympathy for those kind of people because it is inherently dangerous and you can hurt somebody. So, I mean, under those circumstances, it would be inconsistent for me to say that I have any kind of sympathy for Zlatan's situation.
But we have found a situation here where you've said that you can see intent. There are possibilities. Intent is not impossible to fathom it in incidents, is it?
Yes, I think in some instances, yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. I guess you could give Zlatan the benefit of the doubt and you could say that he had no intention of elbowing Tyrone Mings.
Mm.
I think you'll find very few people who would agree with that. I also think that the other argument still holds up in that it doesn't matter whether or not that's what his intention was. That's what he did.
Yeah.
He might have had he did. I mean, he probably had a brush of blood to the head. He's probably got it in from Mings. He's very angry with him, and he's not thinking straight. So under those circumstances, you could argue that he didn't have any intention. Mm. I mean, we don't go out and start fights with people, do we?
Yeah.
Normally, Jan and I don't. No. You do. But I mean, most people don't go out and seek confrontation and have fights with people. Yeah, they're civilized, you know.
Yeah.
But when you're on football pitch, when you're in a sporting environment, when your blood is running and when the adrenaline is pumping, then that amount of testosterone flying around there, you get angry and you stay angry.
Mm.
and there's no way of coming down from that anger.
Mm.
So you could argue that Zlatan wasn't in his right mind when he did that. And this for me is the importance of intent, or rather the unimportance of intent. I think you should judge players by what they do and not by what you think they meant to do.
Yeah.
It's the myth of free will. We've had this conversation.
Well, there is that, isn't there? Yeah. Because I'm sure if you asked Zlatan to describe what happened, and he did after the game, and he said that Mings jumped into his elbow, and everyone had a good laugh about it because they thought it was ridiculous. But the thing is, that when you are angry, and you say shit and you do shit, and then when you calm down again, you either really, really think, oh shit, did I really, really do that?
Mm.
Or you make every excuse in the sun to say,
I was only having a laugh.
Yeah, I was only having a laugh. Or no, it was him as well. You know, we're both there. And this happens. You know, blokes go through this all the time.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
We know people like this, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
There are situations where we've probably all been in situations where we acted like a bit of a jackass.
At a time with cooler heads, you wouldn't have done.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have dreamed of doing.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, everybody who listens to this has been in that situation.
Yeah.
And so the answer is, the question is, does that excuse Zlatan's actions and means that he shouldn't have been sent off? And of course,
what do you think? Yeah.
The answer is no.
Doesn't excuse his actions at all. I mean, people get a rush of blood to the head. There's probably more of a focus on that in any team sport, really, because of their confrontation. It's a confrontational game. It's going to happen. So you can't just go, well, it's all right. Everyone go around kicking the shit out of each other because there's no such thing as free will. we'll Sam Harris in and he can tell us all about it. But I think we've got to leave that outside. One thing to consider with Zlatan is he is a very, very accomplished martial artist. He's also incredibly tall and strong to be able to do that. And I think, without going through the whys and wherefores of the action too much, there was absolutely clear in my mind. Like, I put my house on it.
Yeah.
That in his mind at that moment, whether he would have done it, when he's talking to the vicar. You can see he's already up there. He's starting to come down, and he sees him and smacks him.
And this is what angers me most about it. And this is what should anger...
Don't get too angry, mate.
Every Man United fan who's watched this. Because if he's not banned for the next game, he should be dropped.
Do you think so?
Jose should drop him because...
That's not going to happen.
No, because when that cross comes in, he's got 2 yards of space around him. Mings is not near him. And he still gets his head to the ball while he's elbowing this guy.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He is clear at that back post.
Yeah. Mm.
And he has got a perfect opportunity to score a goal for Man United, but he doesn't. What he does is he elbows Mings in the face because that's what he wants to do more than anything else.
Yeah, he wants to, he wants retribution.
Yeah.
Where he puts his own interests ahead of the team.
I watched that replay again over and over again. The more time I saw it, I said, why don't you just score? Why don't you just tap the ball? I mean, yes, Mings is there, so he's not got a perfect, clear opportunity to score, but he's well positioned, he wins that header, and he should score.
Yeah, if he bosses Mings out of that situation and scores against him, then that's your riposte, isn't it?
Really? Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, it's now turned into something completely different now. When he could have got the best revenge of all, really.
Yeah,
any action taken?
I think they announced today, didn't they? Yeah,
they've both been charged. So there is, obviously it's going to go in front of a panel of 3 referees.
So the referee didn't see it then?
No.
Because if the referee had seen it, then it would have been in the report and then the FA would have been unless the referee decided to not include them and did see them and decided to
Well, because he didn't book him, because if he'd booked him, he'd have sent him off anyway. So there's no booking there for either player. So if he'd booked Mings for the challenge, I wonder how it would have worked if he'd booked Mings for the challenge on Rooney, but that wasn't even given as a free kick.
Rooney
went over his head over heels.
That's one of those things where although Mings gets a lot of the ball, he really does clean Rooney out. That should have been called as a free kick anyway.
I think it's probably fair to say that the referee did not have a very good game.
One of the guests at the infamous stag do, wasn't he, at the weekend?
Right. In Spain, wasn't it?
So maybe he was still sort of like
tender,
getting used to British time. I think I think that's a polite way of putting it. Yeah, if you want to find out more about the referee stag do, then go online, because we're not going to talk about it too much here, are we? I suppose really the question of intent came also in the game. Another incident was handball. There's been lots of talk about handball recently and lots of theories about what should happen with handball and the way that deliberate handball obviously is tied in with intent, whether you intend to handball. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we saw Sanchez scoring for Arsenal with a handball. Mm-hmm. The ball bounced back. He was just like 1 yard away from the goal line. He's got his hand up in the air, doesn't move his hand towards the ball, but the ball hits the hand and it goes in.
Yeah.
I don't think the referee's seen that. I think the referee thinks it's come off his face or something like that. I think that's the only explanation.
Yeah.
Now, even though that's not deliberate handball, you shouldn't be allowed to benefit from...
You can't score goals with your hand. That's not football.
No.
It's called football.
Yes. And I'm more than happy to say, that really shouldn't have stood.
There are bound to have been some folk who would have argued that goal should have stood irrespective.
Because people would say ball to hand and all that. I perfectly get that opinion. But also, you should never benefit from a handball.
On the same day as the Sanchez goal, Gabbiadini was making his, I think it was his debut for Southampton against Sunderland.
Yeah.
And his first goal, he scored two that day. So one of his two goals was almost exactly
the same. Yes, it was, wasn't it?
Yeah. So, I think there was another goal that same day in another one of the fixtures where there'd been handled ball gone in as well. So there's quite a bit of a glut of it that weekend.
In the Man United Bournemouth game, it was Adam Smith, wasn't it,
who was the
defender. He was defending with his arms out wide.
Yes.
And Pogba, did he deliberately flick it up so that to hit his arms?
Maybe he did.
I think that's what people say is the defence of saying, oh, you can't have every handball being classed as an offence. Because, I think that's what they say, because what you'll do is you'll get... It's the same as every contact is a foul, for me. It's that thing, because what you'll get is you will get clever players. You can see how players draw fouls when they're in normal play. I mean, Eden Hazard is excellent at it. You know, when he runs across a player, he uses his pace and his strength. Yeah. And he draws fouls off opposition defenders. That's not diving. That's just playing the rules and skillful play.
That's indeed.
And also playing within the interpretation of the rules. Now, if you change the rules to say right, every contact with the hand is an offence, then you will get players who are good with the ball to just flicking up and hitting hands and arms all the time just to win free kicks and penalties.
Yeah.
Or am I being too much, you're gonna
just like you talked about Hazard using his pace as almost his own vulnerability. I think you're right. If you're in a situation where you're not going to get much out of the play, and you think, well, Graham's got his arm down there like that, I'll just flick that up. If it's a black and white rule like that, then you know you might well do that because then you've got a free kick.
There is a replay that I watch Goals on Sunday on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Which I hardly watch, but I watch Goals on Sunday on Sunday, largely because I wanted to catch the Palace highlight.
And no wonder you haven't watched it in a while.
Well, indeed. And they showed an angle. I mean, I guess it's another camera angle, so not real time, but they showed an angle, and it does indicate that Smith's hand does move towards the ball.
Right.
But watching it at the time, I don't think that angle was shown live. And of course, it's not the angle that the referee had. So at the time, it looked as though his arms just happened to be out there and then the ball strikes the hand. And I think you can see why Bournemouth fans would feel aggrieved that something like that would happen. But the other argument is that you really should be at a point where your arms shouldn't be in that position.
Mm-hmm.
They're not supposed to be in that position.
Mm.
And a lot of people use their arms in order to maintain their balance. I would imagine that footballers use their arms a lot to maintain their balance and positioning, make sure they don't fall over in incredibly physical confrontations and when they're positioning themselves to try and get the ball.
Mm.
So you can completely understand why it must be very frustrating for players who find this game hard enough as it is to then, you know, find that they've inadvertently committed a handball. And that must be maddening, particularly if it happens in the penalty area. And particularly if the referee decides that, you know, it warrants a yellow card. I mean, that can be extremely irritating.
Yeah.
So I don't think that didn't happen in Smith's case, I don't think. Mm. But so you can see that. But the other argument is, well, there is a clear and unfair advantage being struck. If a ball hits a hand, then there is an unfair advantage to the defending team or to the team that handles the ball. And so, therefore, you do have to give some kind of free kick or penalty.
Yeah.
And I sadly fall down on that side of things. I think it's a shame because you see a lot of, we've said this before, you see a lot of and you see more of them in the Premier League now, but it's quite common on the continent, and you're seeing more of them in the Premier League now, of defenders, they are now attacking a ball coming in and their hands are behind their back.
Yeah.
Now, that can't be an ideal situation,
no.
But it's their interpretation of the law that if they show any part of their hands and it hits the ball, the referee's going to blow up. Mm. And they know this, and so they're adjusting their game.
Yeah.
That's fine, but if you go into the universality of the laws, these are the kind of techniques that professional footballers can do, but park footballers can't, and non-league footballers can't.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a bit rubbish.
Mm.
Yeah. I think you're in danger of alienating worse-off players who aren't able to practice these kind of techniques on a full-time basis.
Well, if you look at the shape of I was just thinking the same thing, actually, as you mentioned that. You know, the shape of the player when he obscures his arms. He's effectively stepping backwards as well. So he has to push himself right forwards, very unlateral position. Mm. When someone is bearing down on him, I mean, it's almost quite dangerous if you think about it. I mean, if that ball is kicked at him, he's got can't defend himself, even if he wanted to, because his arms are behind his back.
He's a one-man wall in a free kick where the ball is rolling.
He's right in front of him. And if he falls, he can't defend him. He can't support himself either.
I wonder how effectively he's actually defending there like that.
Ooh.
Not just in the case of like just being in a position, but how quickly he can shift his weight. Is he more likely to foul a player?
Mm. We need to ask a coach.
I think that the defender at that point, because he can only do one thing, he can only block the shot.
Yeah.
I think at that point he's made the decision, he's going to shoot, so therefore I'm going to adopt this position because that's the only thing I can do to stop this outcome. I think if he thought he was going to go around him, he couldn't stand like that because he couldn't move to his left or his right because he's putting all his weight forward and he'll have to have his feet beneath his hips. So if you're expecting someone to go around you, you can't. That's not the position you'd stand in. He's expecting the shot and that's it.
I think that the handball rule could be looked at again. I wonder by IFAB at some point and look at the evidence and see whether or not there are an increasing number of instances where it would appear that there's quite a lot of accidental handball going on and that it's encouraging bad defending.
Mm.
If you can make a case to say that this is actually this law is encouraging bad play, I like to think there's a justification for adjusting the rules and being a little bit more lenient and allowing for accidental. But it's tough. It's difficult. I'm saying that out loud, and actually it sounds absurd.
My mind is brought forward to another incident that happened this weekend in the Burnley game, where it was Vokes for Burnley who handballed, but it was Swansea that were penalised for it. There was a load of arms went up in the penalty area, and it bounced off Vokes' arms. Yeah, and Swansea got a penalty given against them, which, considering the position that they're in,
that's going to hurt.
Luckily, it didn't matter as the game went through because they won comfortably in the end.
But I can well believe that must be very, very annoying. But, you know, you don't want to be putting, nobody wants to be putting their hands up there anyway. So if there was a Swansea player with their hand up there, then they are running the risk of that. And I wouldn't have any sympathy whatsoever because, I mean, that is just... Okay. Bad play.
So you're saying that all handballs should be penalised.
I am saying that in the event of an unfair advantage, then it should definitely be. So in the event of anything else, then yes, I think that you should definitely.
Yeah. What do you think?
Well, the rule is, I think, quite clear. You can't handle the ball.
You think it's okay then? Yeah?
That's a different game. I look at it a different way. If the referee sees your hand and the ball make contact and he blows for it, you just have to accept that. Because the ball has touched your hand or your hand has touched the ball, whichever way you want to look at it, although the rule does say it has to be hand or ball, or hand.
It has to be deliberate as well.
Yeah, the thing is, though, I think if you're a referee, you're within, and given as well, that it's not dangerous play. So the worst that's going to happen is, all right, you're going to get a goal from it or lose a goal to it. But if the referee sees that the ball and the hand have made contact and he blows for it, I don't think you've got much of a complaint. I think you've got... It's more straightforward than the first incident we've talked about today, I think.
Mm. I do wonder if with the advent of VAR, whether or not there's going to be a streamlining of handball, because obviously it's going to be very easy to pick out handball, but whether it's still not going to be easy to pick out intent, is it?
The VAR is going to reintroduce a whole raft of rule changes, I think, when you've got that review process coming in. And people look, because if not necessarily the ref, the officials themselves, but the people watching it, it's going to alter the way that we view the game.
Mm.
And I predict, although we don't like making predictions, but I predict that it will instigate some fairly significant reforms and changes in there. We should have a podcast on the VAR.
We will do.
Where we need to research exactly what it is going to do, what it isn't going to do as well. There's a bit of a problem for ourselves and perhaps our listeners.
Is it an operation in MLS this season?
Is it? I don't know.
I think it is. If we watch a few MLS games, then we'll see.
Yeah. But it's coming to England.
FA Cup, didn't you say?
FA Cup. And I think it's coming to the Bundesliga next season.
And I think it's going to be there at the Confederation Cup as well, I think, in the summer.
Yes,
We will have plenty of chances to have a look at it.
And give it an assessment, find out what it is. So that we're all, you know, hopefully educated as to what to expect and what to not expect from the VAR.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I maintain that this is going to cause more arguments than it's going to solve.
Yeah. Well, seeing how it's worked in other sports, it hasn't taken away controversy.
It's awful in other sports. I hate it in other sports, I'm sure we're going to hate it here. Anyway, this is an argument that we've lost, and fine. And it's one argument that I think we can safely say, well, fine, we accept the decision. On this occasion.
And I think you're going to have to accept the decision that I'm going to close this podcast up now.
Never.
Well.
Why should I?
Look.
Why should I?
End of podcast means end of podcast.
If I don't think it's a good idea to end this podcast, why should I just simply shut up and accept it?
Because I'll just press the stop button.
Ah.
Yeah. We had some more feedback this week on the story about Sunderland move, because we did say mention last week about the Toronto Wolfpack, didn't we?
Yes.
We got a few tiny details wrong about that, which was so we did get some more feedback on the Facebook page. If you go along to the Facebook page, facebook.com/soundoffootball, you can read all the stuff there, and there's lots of good information on there. So thanks to Mark Butler for putting
that in. Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Yes. So that's it for this week, though. So we'll be back again next week. But from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Dalton, and from Terry Fellin, it's goodbye.
Goodbye.
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
Is that you? Was that you bubbling around, or was that... I can hear something, so it was a...
It may have been me. Oh, right, I didn't feel it, though.
Okay, it's okay. Okay.
It's me.
Yeah. Wow.
Don't include any of this on the podcast. No, I know you're recording it.
It's not good enough to go on.
And it's just...